Hi, this is Mr. Brown. You're listening to SeaWhatShow.com. This is a SeaWhatShow special report from San Diego Comic-Con 2007. We just attended the panel for Disney's upcoming movie, The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. And this is a recording of that panel discussion. Enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone, to Narnia. It's, you know, it's great for me to be back here with all the people in front of you and everyone who's shooting this film. It's very exciting to be showing this again. We showed the last film at Comic-Con, I guess it was 3 years or so ago now. And we've got, I think, a good treat for you guys again this time. We're actually showing more than last time. A little earlier in the process, we're still in the middle of shooting. We're about day 106-ish, I think. And somewhere between 30 and 40 more to go, depending on whether you talk to Mark Johnson or not.
I'm not answering.
Many of you are probably familiar with this story. I found this actually, in some ways, a more difficult story to develop and to adapt for the screen. The way the book is written is in a very non-linear fashion, where you're away from our main characters for a long time. And when we came to looking at how to bring it to the screen, it was less cinematic than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in the structure and narrative of the book. And where it had things in the book like, you know, and Caspian went and fought a sortie, I really felt the need to sort of embellish that and really bring this to the scope and scale that people were expecting from seeing the last film. The next thing we want to show you, this piece that we just saw was actually sort of about the middle portion of the movie, which is when Caspian has joined up with the Pevensies, and actually they go to raid King Miraz's castle in an attempt to actually win the kingdom back. For those who know the story, Caspian has been ousted by King Miraz and has actually called the Pevensies back to try and really restore Narnia. And the movie is a lot about that, about the restoration of Narnia. To the Pevensey children, it's a very nostalgic journey. They're going back to Narnia 1,300 years later, and the whole place has changed. The creatures have been driven into the forest. The Telmarines have basically taken over in a very oppressive society. So the Pevenseys have kind of gone back to this memory, only to find that the Narnia that they knew is gone. It's a much more savage place than they remembered it. And because of that, I've wanted to make the story a much bigger, grittier, epic, and I think sort of just action-packed story, really, than the last one. Not that we haven't got some of the lyricism and so on that C.S. Lewis put into the book, but there is more action. It is a more epic journey. I do want to point out this is actually the first time anyone outside of this production has seen any footage of this film. So if I see this in the internet tomorrow, I'm coming after all of you. But as well as this sort of first-time event, I also wanted to introduce you to another first-time event, and that is Prince Caspian himself, Ben Barnes. Ben would have been there tonight with you as well, except unlike, you know, Howard and EC and Dean, we actually really needed Ben here. No, come on, you guys know fact I need you back here tomorrow, is that okay?
We might just
I've added some new stuff. We need 100 creatures and some new costumes. So what we actually wanted to do is throw some questions open to the audience for, I think specifically for Ben, but either of us can answer.
I would like to ask, what has been the most challenging creature or effect so far, and what do you anticipate as being the most challenging in future films in the series?
Future films of the series is hard to answer. You know, they'll be less challenging for me because I'm not planning to direct the future films. So in this one, I think still Aslan is going to be the most challenging creature in much the way he was last time, and just that he's so important both in his physical representation and all the concepts around him and the ideology around him. But I think, you know, in addition, we have Reaper Chief this time, who's a very strong character in the film. I think he's going to keep everyone busy. Dean, you can probably answer what your biggest fears are.
Right now we're still working on the scene you saw in the previews of the griffins carrying in the kids is something that we want to make sure looks right. And you see that in a lot of films these days where there's characters that can fly or fly on different types of boomsticks or whatever, and it's always a challenge to make that look really real and believable.
This question is from an audience.com. I wanted to know if there was any funny or unique memories or experiences from filming this time around.
You're looking for anecdotes before we're finished. It's hard to have funny memories when you're in the middle of it. You know, I mean, I do have to say again that, you know, I had a great experience shooting the last film, and it really became such a family experience, and I found it again this time. It's a different family. It's an even more international family than we had last time. There's many days on set where four or five languages are spoken. I've walked out the hallway and said hello to all the different lords in Telmar, and I've spoken Spanish, Italian, Czech, French, English, and Kiwi. Tim Connington, who's one of our production managers, is also one of the lords, and just said g'day. So it is proving to be a really fun experience again.
The question is to the entire team, what are you doing with Prince Caspian that you weren't able to do with Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe that really excites you? And then a side question, if an aggressive schedule of all seven films, what are you doing about filming the children since they're going to be aging rather quickly into their teen years?
Actually, that's a good
I'm
question
taking
for
your
everybody
question about
on this
what
panel.
You're doing with Prince. There's that 2-second delay that we love. Go ahead, please, on the panel.
Howard, why don't you answer this?
Okay. What I really got a chance to do is Andrew really gave us a lot of freedom at K&B to revisit a lot of the characters and creatures. And, you know, two species we really got to work on were the dwarves, because we've got Nickbrick and Trumkin, who were really fantastic. And Warwick Davis plays Nickbrick, and Peter Dinklage plays Trumkin. And they just bring so much life to it. On the first film, I just felt our dwarves really weren't there, and then we really, you know, Andrew went ahead and cast us two of magnificent actors, and it really brought them to life. And all the dwarves in the film are played by actors that are small actors, and that was really, really fun to do. And then we got to redesign the satyrs, which really excited me, and Andrew really wanted us to break the human form, so I think we were fairly successful in that, and it was just really fun to do that. And then we have all our other friendly, you know, centaurs and fauns and minotaurs, and it was fun to revisit them and just kind of do a lot of different things with them. But those two characters, or those two species, the dwarves and the satyrs, are probably the most exciting for me just because they're so different than the first film. But I think you guys are going to really dig them.
Ishii, what about you?
Well, I can kind of comment a little more on the children growing and keeping the continuity of the children. I mean, as Andrew said, all the stories are different. There are seven books, but they're different characters of the four of heaven scenes as we move along. Yes, they've grown up, and it's interesting. I think it's worked to our advantage on this particular film, as they've come back into Narnia somewhat entitled, as the kings and queens of Narnia should. And so for us, I think, even though physically we've gotten a little taller and a little more mature, I just think emotionally that has helped the stories tremendously. This is the last time we have Susan and Peter in the stories, so it's a bit of a swan song, which has made all of us incredibly sad in those last fittings. But I don't think it hinders the story that they get older a little longer, and eventually we'll be shooting the horse and his boy, and they're supposed to be in their 20s, and they will be in their 20s by then, so we won't really have to worry about it.
Just a little story from here today, as you're talking about the fact that it's the last time for Anna and Will. We're shooting a scene today where it's right before they're leaving, and they're basically, you know, having to be told by Aslan that they won't be coming back to Narnia. And Shane Rangi, who many of you know, plays a lot of the creatures. He played Otman the Minotaur. Well, today he was actually wearing a full blue suit. He looked kind of like the Tick, with a highline called as Aslan. And because I'd wanted the sadness and the emotion, I asked Shane to talk about, you know, that this is the last time they'd be working together in one of these films. And at the end of doing a couple of takes, I noticed these big wet patches down the blue screen suit. Because Shane had also been crying through it as well.
Very good. Well, we've got 5 minutes, so I better hurry up with questions for the other two. So, Dean, obviously we have been all privileged that both Andrew as a director and the producers have put together a film that plays so much to the magic that we all love when we go to the cinema, which is the combination of different techniques and technologies. We're building miniatures in the same way the miniatures have been built for 100 years now. They will be filmed in exactly the same way that they've been filmed for 100 years. But then the latest cutting-edge technology comes to play as well. Mastered by yourself and your team and the digital effects houses you'll work with. How does that challenge you each day and make for a better cinema? Well, EC, you've come back from this beautiful story that we were all part of on the first film. And I saw this film very much as a coming-of-age opportunity for the children as they take hold of and grasp of the fact that this lovely world, this beautiful world that they once knew, has almost now been rent by this evil warlord that's now ruling from the Telmarin capital. And you, in turn, have created a whole new race of people that have come from the sea, now taking hold and dominating the world. It's a great pleasure that we can present this to you all today. To my good colleagues and very good friends, thank you all for gathering and hearing about Prince Caspian. It's a wonderful film that's going to warm our hearts again and allow us all to relive the literature of our childhood. So cheers to you all and thank you everyone. Thank you.
And that was the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian panel discussion at San Diego Comic-Con 2007. And this is Mr. Brown signing off for CYShow.com.